I would like to begin this episode by thanking some people. People like the mysterious Mr. Q, Eric Netto, and Sack. Thank you so much for patronizing us at patreon.com/DougFeedTV. Almost forgot what I was saying there. They have gone and done that. And if you're listening, you can go and do that too. Get thanked, get a bunch of bonus content, premium episodes of this show. All of it is at patreon.com/DougFeedTV.
This for sure is the three patrons we've ever thanked that seem like they're X-Men 2099 villains. Like Mr. Q, Eric Netto, and Sack. I can imagine them perfectly taking on X-Men 2099 specifically. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Driver San Francisco, which is an open world driving game developed by Reflections and published by Ubisoft for PS3, Xbox 360, and PC in 2011. And Gary, I am sitting here hooting. I'm hollering.
This is really good. This is, so on Twitter, or on Blue Sky, I don't care, on internet, you said, you're like, oh, this is like the, like, you'll put this in a case for 7 out of 10s.
Yes.
Like a super 7 out of 10, though, this is what we're talking about when we say 7 out of 10 non-derogatory. Mm-hmm. However, my thesis for this game is that there is like a strong 8.5 or 9 out of 10 in here.
Oh, yeah.
That is covered by Ubisoft bullshit.
Yes.
And I know that's, you know, the developer is different than that, but like, I end up walking away from this a little bit more frustrated because I was like, oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
This is really fun. It's asking me to do a lot of real dumb stuff that is unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in my arc of like most AAA games get worse by addition, like almost all of them.
Oh yeah.
You know, like every big game, there's a really, really good game in there. They just didn't, kept going after you nut. And like this game, like fucking just piles on the garbage.
Yeah.
Like, and this weird way is microcurrencies and these side missions and like unlocking abilities that should be unlocked from the start and all these little like microtransaction-y little bullshit things. Mm-hmm. Like they're not asking for money, but they're like microdosing my time.
Yeah.
You know, and a thing, and my patience. And underneath all of that, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like there's a weird genius core idea at this.
Oh.
It's really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
In a fun way. Like this is, there's something really good in this that I think is let down by like the package.
Yes.
You know, a little bit.
Yeah. I wish that this was a bigger force, actually. I wish that this made more of a splash, had a bigger impact. I don't know. I love this, Gary.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Like it's super, super fun. This is, I don't know if you mentioned this, is executive produced by Steven.
Yes.
I think I cut you off before you saying that. I didn't mean to put that on you.
No.
I think I messed that up. So big thanks you to Steven. Like this is the very definition of a game that in a million years I never would have found or played on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of thing that's like discovery as well as, you know, sponsorship.
Yes. So in this, you play as Detective John Tanner, who is hunting down his nemesis, Charles Jericho.
Jericho. God, I hate that Jericho.
Oh, Jericho.
Jericho looks like a realistically proportioned Monstroso, if you're trying to imagine Jericho.
Seems like Monstroso in a teleporter accident with like Brett Gelman.
Yes, it's a Brett Gelman Monstroso. Yeah.
Jericho. Mendoza. Mm-hmm.
I hate that Jericho.
Who is the antagonist of Drive 3-er, who has escaped from prison in San Francisco after shooting Tanner in Turkey in a drive-thru-er.
Yeah. The twist is, however, early on in this game, very early on, Jericho puts Tanner into a coma. And even though Tanner is unaware of this, the entire game takes place in a coma fantasy.
Yeah.
So it's worth talking about that. I don't like that it's a coma fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would make me interested in the next entry in the series if it wasn't.
Yes.
Like, there's no, I don't understand why they are protecting the sanctity of the driver universe instead of just being like, fuck it.
Yeah.
He got into an accident and now he's kind of like head-on collision Spider-Man.
Yep.
Like, he's property damaged Spider-Man for some reason now. And human damage.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My death toll in this game is worse than almost any other video game.
Astronomical.
My astronomical death toll in saving the city.
Especially, like, the misery of the death. Like, car crashes fucking suck.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting hit by a car also sucks.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of that.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're in a coma. So this game, you know, similar to when I was hooting and hollering in Grand Theft Auto 5 about bullet time for cars,
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, people helpfully told me that other games that was in, which is great. This adds a mechanic to just normal driving that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, makes it really fun when I'm, you know, typically not a driving game guy.
Yeah.
And that's shifting. You are a fucking ghost that can possess cars. Like, that's not literally what's happening, but you are basically car ghost.
So at any time, you can press a button and then Tanner leaves his body. It's very funny in the story when his soul leaves his body. Like, he's still like driving around, just stock silent while his partner's sitting in the passenger seat.
And he's not very good at it. Having to go back in and babysit your meat body to make it like do stuff. Weirdly, you could have recoded this whole thing as Shadowrun and like riggers and it would have worked just fine.
But you press this button, things slow down, it's not entirely frozen, but you leave your body, and then you can hover around at different levels of zoom and select whichever car you want to jump into. And even above and beyond, like, the missions that, you know, make specific use of this, like, oh, I need to jump around, even above and beyond that, like, just being able to press a button and then be in the car who is in the position to do the most interesting thing right now is so powerful.
It's super good. The most interesting thing is almost always crashing or jumping.
Yes.
Like, there's this weird thing where you're still ultimately limited by this being a driving game. And I like Vroom Vroom Drive Drive,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, Burnout, we did Burnout Paradise. Like, I discovered that that's something I do think is really fun. But this is, it's one of those things where I felt like I kept expecting it to get old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it never really did.
Yeah.
Even if I was always using it for the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was almost always just like setting up a crash, either because I had a mission to see weird stuff, setting up a crash because I was doing any kind of chase or race,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I could do a crash. Like, I was just always setting up crashes.
It's always a
crash, crash, crash.
It's always a little bit different each time too, especially if you're trying to set up a crash, like, head on. Like, there's always different traffic, like the different cars are different, you know, have different maneuverability.
When car weights are huge.
Yeah.
Like, you always have to take big motherfuckers to do head-ons.
Yeah.
And everything. So to make sure that many more souls died in the crash. Like, basically collecting enough souls to resurrect Orcus or whatever in this game is my secret motivation. It's my actor's secret.
Yeah. But you just go around possessing cars and possessing the people in them. The story thing that happens here. So it's like a Quantum Leap. Right?
Yes.
Where Tanner will jump in and then, like, the little talking heads on the screen, like, you know, the driver of the car will morph into being Tanner. The people that you jump into, they always have a passenger, and then it's like Tanner talking.
They have a very car related problem as well.
It's
like Quantum Leap, but very specific. Like, this can only be solved by stunt driving.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
every single problem.
A lot more problems you might expect can only be solved by this. So he does that. He talks to his co-host, and this is exacerbated by what Tanner is as like a character.
Uh-huh.
Like, Tanner is like, as Guy Whitey Drive Good, like in this, is at first I was like, oh, this guy's just real bland.
Uh-huh.
You know, but he's like, it feels like he has a little bit of like the bitten by a radioactive external processor thing, where he constantly has to make jokes
mm-hmm.
about every single thing that's happening, no matter what the stakes are.
Oh yeah.
In a way that for me supported the fantasy of not caring about human life. this game engenders. Like, there's a weird parallel with this in Play Games.
Yeah.
like the driver has infected San Francisco. Can you, like, you know, because there's a lot of like, you know, that'll leave a mark, or like, I thought you said you wanted to get there on time, kind of shit that happens constantly along with this destruction.
Yeah.
Like, ah,
it's very important that Tanner thinks that he just had a vision and then got these psychic abilities. He is unaware that he is in Coma Town.
No. It is very obvious. And even once he knows it, he only kind of knows it.
Yeah.
This is what they did instead of letting you get out of the car.
Yeah.
So in Drive Threer, they, you could get out of the car, but everybody hated it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just worse Grand Theft Auto. That is the game that gave this series the reputation that mm-hmm. it has to me. Like, I have never played a driver game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just, you know, a Grand Theft Auto clone mm-hmm. series.
Yeah. Not the case. This is so much better. Like, it lets them focus on, like, this is a game about driving, right? We can have a story. We can have all this, but like, why in the world would, in a game about driving, we make you get out and do like, you know, shooting in an alley.
On-foot stealth missions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking,
like, sneak into a chemical warehouse.
This is such,
you know,
a,
shit like that.
This is such a good compromise. It just completely circumvents the problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're using the shifting in a whole bunch of different ways, you know, and what it does is it makes all this ordinary open world driving shit that you do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're racing and you're coming up on an intersection. You can make, and, you know, you're in second place. You shift into another guy and have him cut off the person in first place or crash into them.
Yeah.
Much more likely.
Also important, just the rules around this. You cannot shift into the body of any of your opponents or adversaries.
Yes. That is just because it's a fair coma. you've set up your own coma rules. You want to make it challenging for yourself.
I'm just over here with a chalkboard.
Yeah.
On 5 days, no sleep, chain smoking. I love this. Oh.
So what it means is that you use the city as your tool to get hurt in order to win races.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you just pull randos into it. And the randos get little NPC dialogues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the humor in this game has never approached funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything this does on purpose to be funny is not funny.
Yeah.
Other than the premise, right? So, like, you end up with characters who are, you in the thing, and they're like, I thought I told you to slow down. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I'm going to fail my driver's test. Like, they're always saying weird fucking the Lockhorns shit. But then they die. Uh-huh. Then you crash them into traffic head on.
And then they never walk again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, then the Eddie Vedder covers a song about it. You know? Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's great.
There's also rapid shifting, which you can do without needing to like hover around. It's just a button to swap to whatever, like another car or back to Tanner's car, which is a bitchin' Dodge Challenger.
Yeah, this is oftentimes used for cop chases.
Yes.
You switch between different cops mm-hmm. and everything. One of the things that is a mechanic that gets frustrating to me with the unlock things is the different levels of zoom mm-hmm. that you can do to zoom out. This happens as you go through the game. So you can zoom further out.
Yeah.
As the game continues, what that means is you can move faster
yeah.
when you are just traveling between points.
Mm-hmm.
And this is gated for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, just for a video game. And I'm going to keep saying Ubisoft. I know Ubisoft published it. It was developed by Reflections.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something I associate with the publisher and games that they put out.
It's the brand. Yeah.
It's the brand. It's just like, let's put a bunch of little minor gamey things in your way.
Yeah.
I
want to complicate what you just said, which is like, yes, it was developed by Reflections. Reflections was the lead studio. This was a big game. 220 people worked on it, and there were 5 Ubisoft studios that were involved in it as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I do think it is fair to put some of the onus on just the apparatus that takes ideas, that takes good ideas and turns them into that.
And it adds, you know, just puts a Uplay, like, mm-hmm. just sprays Uplay all over it.
Yeah.
Just to make it a little bit worse, you know, like, you know, this could have had that, you know, there's that like weird kind of scungy AA feeling that sometimes really big games get, like this thing with Crackdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talk about, like, I like Crackdown a lot, but it just doesn't do these things
mm-hmm.
and it feels kind of weird and singular because of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's still upgrades and stuff, but they're not gating you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So, like, speaking of that, like, it does that, you know, getting around is really awkward,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you have to do this. You're either floating very slowly through the sky, you know, or you are driving and shifting into cars to do it. And driving around at anything less than top speed is a little bit difficult,
mm-hmm.
like as you go through. The game is built for drifting. It's a thing where the cars control well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the thing I ended up settling on is I prefer the way that GTA 5 cars feel.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know anything about driving games. Like, people will like a certain driving model more than another.
Mm-hmm.
I can't describe a driving model.
Yeah.
I kept going out of control more than I wanted to in this game.
Yeah. I eventually got used to it. This, at slower mid speeds, this felt a little bit too much like Grand Theft Auto 4 driving to me. Mm. At high speeds, this sings, you know, when you're weaving in and out of traffic and you're, pulling e-brake turns and all of that, like, all of that is great. It's just, I wish that it was a little bit better at all speeds, because you have to engage at all speeds, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was rambling a minute ago about the shift thing, but this ties back into it. You have a boost bar. You get some superpowers
mm-hmm.
as you go. You get a boost bar, and you get a ramming ability. The ramming ability is real weird. The car kind of hangs in place for a sec, and then juts forward like a pinball shooter. It's really cool to have these superpowers. When I talk about the game Nickel and Diming You, your zoom or your boost bar is a stat.
Yes.
You improve. There are missions that require a minimum amount of boost bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this like built-in encouraged grinding, like go do missions until you get our currency, then increase this thing that could have been just there from the start. It wouldn't have been overpowered.
Yeah.
So you can complete this thing to get more currency.
Yeah.
Full of shit like that.
Mm-hmm. This is where I say I didn't engage with any of that. I think I maybe bought the first boost bar upgrade. But it was really just a matter of like, I just rolled with whatever the game gave me or whatever currency I got by doing stunts in the game. Yeah.
In the missions. And then also, which is what I wanted to do, but then it does the other thing, and this is more structural. This will come later, mm-hmm. but like, it stops you from doing the main missions until you've eaten a certain amount of side missions. And you have a little bit of freedom as to what side missions you do,
mm-hmm.
but you have to get a certain amount. So I was going around trying to do some of the side missions for that, and I kept getting called back because I hadn't done enough side missions to do the side mission.
So it doesn't communicate this clearly. In any given chapter, you have to do all of the city missions. There are usually four of them. Okay. It's just you have to do two to unlock a story mission, the first story mission, and then two to unlock the second one. And then there are the blue map markers, the ones that are like stunt challenge, driving challenge, things like that, that are just there for people who want this 10-hour game to be a forever game for them, and are there for like currency stuff if you want to unlock a particular kind of Mustang or whatever.
Like, that is signaled very poorly, mm-hmm. so much so that like I would have to restart the game to find this, but I might do it because it happens like a half hour in.
Mm-hmm.
When it tells you that, I feel like it tells you it doesn't use capital city missions.
Yeah.
It says you have to do a certain number of, and it implies like side content.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
It's not great. And that also falls into the big AAA open world cruft, which is like, okay, you need to do all these different subcategories of missions. We have city missions, but that's distinct from challenge missions. Now, adversary missions, those are entirely different than enemy missions, which are, contributing to this currency,
two of them
Yeah.
The other thing that's locked behind this currency, we talk about upgrading mm-hmm. in this. The upgrades are not interesting, but it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Is that there's one place you can upgrade on the map,
mm-hmm.
and to unlock other ones, you have to spend this currency.
Why?
And that's just convenience. Like, mm-hmm. you can scroll. I can float up to however long the game is, or however high the game is decided I can fly,
mm-hmm.
to slowly scroll across a map to get to this thing, or I can grind to get this one that's closer.
Yeah.
Like, there's this weird, like, how much bullshit will you put up with stuff that, like, mm-hmm. it's not, this is gonna sound like nitpicking because the rest of the game is good and you are free to engage with a certain amount of it, but it was sand in my shoe like the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, it made a bad first impression, and only once I got farther enough along where it decided everything was unlocked and I could play the game it should have been from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
did I really, really start liking it.
Yeah, there's a resentment that it just kind of spools out these things, very slowly. That should just be there, right? Like, I don't know. I won't be underwhelmed. In fact, it might actually be cool if I go out to the full level of zoom and like most of the city is dark and I see like how little of it I have right now. Excites me because like,
that's cool feeling.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to cross that. I'm gonna get to cross the Golden Gate. I'm gonna go, well, what's up in Marin County, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of vehicles in this. Many of them are real cars. Mm-hmm. You know, first time in the series for that. They do handle differently from one another,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is good. And it takes place across 8 chapters, as we mentioned. Each one has 2 story missions. These can be very, very short.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do side quests, essentially. They're called city missions. As this for their side quest.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where everybody has a problem that can only be solved by driving.
Right. It's elite beat agents. It's elite bucket seat agents.
Yes. Yeah. Elite seat agents.
Yeah.
But
I love that, like a lot of these, like you jump into the same people, and like continue their stories. The street racing teens who are just addicted to the thrill is so funny.
These dumb kids. Yeah. Yeah. they're also, again, we mentioned those little challenges. Some of these are fun. They, you know, you do a stunt or you do a race or, and the stunts, are varied.
Yeah.
Like be at 170 miles per hour for this long.
Yes.
Like in oncoming traffic, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how you get your currency. Your currency is called willpower.
Yeah.
Which unlocks cars, which sounds like some Andrew Tate-esque, like, if you have enough willpower, you can also drive this stupid fucking Tesla bullshit or whatever.
It's the will to horsepower. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to make a note of multiplayer on this because I don't know, this could have just been a single player game, but it was the style at the time. There are a bunch of online modes, which look pretty cool, like a fun little tag variant thing going on. This had both online and split screen, which was a rarity by this time.
Yeah, that is rare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So aesthetically it looks good. It's just cars, you know, so that's a nice way to do it. And the people look fine.
Yeah.
You know, high-end PS3 stuff. Mm-hmm. For some reason, there is a 70s crime thriller, which I don't know how that, it works with the chronology of Driver. This also kind of takes place in the 70s, but doesn't.
Yeah.
It is influenced by a movie called Bullet,
mm-hmm.
Through there, which is about, you know, a Dodge Charger doing jumps in San Francisco.
Yes. Yeah. Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
That's like a thing across the entire series. There was Driver parallel lines that had like you played somebody in 1976 and then you played them in 2006. You know, kind of in the same city, updated between those time periods. I don't know. I think they just like that, you know, Starsky and Hutch style, you know, just that era of crime fiction.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the soundtrack accomplishes what it needs to do. It's mostly licensed tracks on your radio. Lots of, you know, kind of leaning on like either bluesy or soulful, like classic kind of stuff, along with like kind of scungy modern hard rock kind of stuff. And like it never gets into like Stevie Ray Vaughan, like, you know, real like dad or uncle blues rock kind of stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt to me like it was doing a lot of funk stuff and I didn't know most of it.
Yeah.
Like I kept the number of times that something I recognized came up on this radio was like twice.
Yeah.
You know, in this, I mm-hmm. spent a lot of time scanning cause it was just stuff that like. In mm-hmm. here, it didn't make very much of an impression on me.
Yeah,
through this.
Yeah, there's really cool stuff on there. You got a lot of DJ Shadow. There's some TV on the radio, and then weirdly, there's Cole Bates, like like deep cut Eels and Queens of the Stone Age.
Sure.
Like, okay, cool. I'm not going to argue with this. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The story is really stupid
mm-hmm.
in this. It is really pulpy. I love how this does. I wish it was a little bit weirder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I wish it was a little bit further, like a little bit
more,
you know, with that. But the game knows what it's doing. It's stupid. It plays some things really, really seriously that should not be played seriously. And this is all, you know, having Jericho as a guy, just the presence of a Jericho.
Yeah. My joke to you privately was the story was written by the brother from Adaptation.
It's like, got a lot of that energy.
Yeah. Also, the story is not so complicated that you need 2 previously on interstitials, you know, to catch you up on it. But like it does that nonetheless.
Trying to, you know, it's aping movie,
old
TV stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So Reflections, you know, strange studio, they got their start creating games on micro PCs in the 80s. earliest hits were the Shadow of the Beast games.
Terrible.
You know, Psygnosis.
Yeah.
You remember Psygnosis.
Remember Psygnosis? They broke into driving games with Destruction Derby on the PlayStation and PC in 1995 and created Driver for GT Interactive in 1999. I don't know if they thought that they were making something that would be a kind of a killer app for the PlayStation. This was a very popular game. Driver, You Are the Wheelman, or creating a series that would last this long.
I have no idea. Like I said, this was very anonymous to me. Like, it was very easy if you weren't involved in this genre sphere to just be like, oh yeah, no, it's just another one of those.
It might have been like a like an age thing, because like the idea of this really impressive for the time 3D open world driving crime game, like, this came out in 1999. I was like 12-13 years old at around the time that this was a thing. This was a coveted object, like, in neighborhoods and among my friends, right? In the same way that Grand Theft Auto 3 would become 2 years later, right?
Yeah, it definitely could be like an age thing. That could come down to just you know, age, but then also what how you're being marketed. You know, based on your age, like, what stuff was reaching through.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, concurrent with the PlayStation age, like, me and my friends and everything, we were teenagers. But it was, like, this never crossed our radar at all.
Yeah. No.
Really. So this brought us Driver 2, Drive-Thriever, Driver Parallel Lines. And this is all about John Tanner.
Yes.
You know, our boy with kind of the personality.
Yeah. Paul Walker's character in Fast and Furious a couple of years before Fast and Furious came out.
Yes.
Yeah. They also did Stuntman, which is pretty good. I really like Stuntman Ignition, which they didn't develop, but it is a follow up to Stuntman. Interesting.
What's the gimmick on Stuntman?
On Stuntman, it is like very specifically you are doing driving on movie sets. Just drive perfectly and meeting the director's kind of like on the fly commands for what they want to capture.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's neat. You're frustrating, but neat. Yeah.
No. This game took 4 years to develop, with Reflections founder and Driver creator Martin Edmondson returning temporarily to head its creation.
Yeah. They had retired in 2004 after Driver 3 did what it did.
Yes.
The shift mechanic on this was inspired by Google Maps and Street View, just thinking, yeah, that's actually a neat way to get around a city. Let's try it. The Coma Town setup gave them room to try novel scenarios that wouldn't have been possible. That was in an interview done for Gaming Bolt.
Gaming Bolt.
Yeah, that, you know, Martin Edmondson said that.
Yeah. This is the first game that requires the hated Uplay, Uplay Passport.
Yeah.
Executive Plus Edition for online functionality. The Xbox version shipped with really bad codes, so the requirement was waived.
Yeah,
just, you know,
defective. Goodness. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Uplay Passport. You know how you already pay to play a game online on your consoles? What if you paid again?
You could also do it twice.
Yeah.
Or if you're playing this later, what if you had a wrapper that interfered with it running?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, how do we de-time proof our game? How do we make this age like milk?
Yeah.
This is in one of the, an era of games that is going away that I think is really interesting. I almost want to I do a topics episode about this. I don't know how we talk about it, but we have left the era where games, the same game on different platforms will be an entirely different game.
Yes.
That is a thing that happened with, you know, portables, you know, like underpowered portables and the Wii specifically, and now is no longer a thing.
Right.
So there's a Wii version of this, Driver San Francisco for Wii. It's entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't shift, but you shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time you're driving around, you use the Wiimote to hold an Uzi out the window and shoot the other cars. that's not as good as shifting, but also just a car game where you're just constantly shooting out the window. there's something there.
Yeah.
If you can shoot tires and you know, do stuff like that, like, you just never stop. I don't know. I almost think there's something there.
I really enjoy that idea.
I'm fucking insane. Like, just make it, you know, I'm in a coma and I'm not coming back.
Nope.
And I'm gonna take many people with me.
Yeah. Just constant stream. Like, you don't even hold the trigger. It's just always firing. No. You just choose where to point it. Yeah.
Like Vampire Survivors, but you're driving around and it's a gun in a car in real life.
Yeah.
Human Survivors.
I'm glad you're also interested in the, like, completely different alternate Wii version of popular games, you know?
Yeah, it's neat. It's neat because it's a thing that went away without me really marking it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like noticing it, like when I was researching this and seeing what the Wii version was like, that's when I kind of like put that together. Like, oh, we'll never have that again.
Nope.
You know, like that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this released pretty good reviews. Got lots of eights, which the developer was satisfied with, and the sales exceeded Ubisoft's targets. But still the series died after this. Primarily because Ubisoft shifted Reflections over to work on The Crew, that online open world driving game.
Yep. Which I do not, again, also remember. It's you throw a car in something and I forget what it is. Reflections picked up the Just Dance series, mm-hmm. and their sole final sole credit is the 2017 platformer Odie.
Ode.
I hope it's Odie.
Yeah.
After this, they became a support studio.
Yes.
So they worked on that Avatar game that a surprising number of people liked.
Yes.
Frontiers of Pandora.
This is impossible to get now. You can buy physical copies secondhand, but they are pretty expensive. Not like, you know, Rule of Rose expensive, but, you know, $60, $80, $90, something like that.
Yeah.
So it was delisted in 2016. You can't get this on digital storefronts, which is a shame. But Ubisoft, they better, you know, take advantage of the time they have. They better watch out. Someone started a change.org petition to get them to put it back.
Sure. One of the most powerful tools at our disposal as gamers.
Binding. This is binding.
Yeah. The real thing is you just download a crack of it through Google.
Yes.
And we encourage you to do so. I don't want to get into, you know, again, if they're going to make something not available.
Yeah.
I don't, what are they expecting?
It's hard to care about it if they have actively decided not to sell it. So
yeah,
it's kind of their problem at that point.
It's on them.
Is my feeling. Yeah.
It's 100% on them.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into it. Some of the stuff is we're going to probably focus largely on story and new mechanics as they appear.
Yeah.
You know, similar to platformer rules. Like, it'd be weird if we described races in terms of like, and then a turn comes up.
Right.
Like, these are long races.
Mm-hmm.
We start with the prologue here. The news talks about the capture of smuggling kingpin Charles Jericho. And this is intercut with Jericho bargaining with another prisoner, this weird old man, for $30 million. He wants an additional $30 million.
Yes.
You know, and he's, you know, $30 million, 30 more years of your life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you know what the touch of a woman feels like. This is because he's letting him get out of jail.
Yes.
And he hasn't touched a woman in a long time. But it is a weird line.
Yeah, very weird.
It is a, like, you know, Brett, you've got it going on. We're on tour. Put on a wig. Like, jerk me off kind of line. As a thing.
Yeah. Like, something that I think needs to be stated here. There was just kind of an era in the late 2000s, early 2010s or whatever, where Ubisoft specifically just thought subtitles are not necessary for our games.
Yeah.
No subtitle options in this. There were a bunch of games where this was the case, and I could not be angrier.
They had to put... you know, all of the things, all the Uplay wrappers mm-hmm. and then the honor points to get vampire downloads and stuff. We cut over to Tanner and his partner Tobias Jones, you know, and they are out of the 70s,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their car. Jones tells Tanner that he has to celebrate Jericho's capture, but Tanner's reluctant. He can't let it go. Jericho's up to something. Mm-hmm. His Tanner sense is going off.
So Jericho's being transferred and he's being marched down to the truck, and this guard slips him a green capsule that we see when he gets in the car is full of acid that he uses to melt his chains.
It's in his mouth, and he like bites open a capsule of acid to like have it spray on his chains. Yep. And then a woman, like a Bond villain, modern Bond villain style Bond henchman woman, hijacks a news chopper and like not on the ground or like, you know, hijacks a news chopper and then takes the police escort, starts taking them out with a rocket launcher. Like we're at rocket launcher from helicopter. Here in 45 seconds
right away.
This allows Jericho, who has used acid to dissolve his handcuffs, to take control of the armored police truck that's driving him. And we get into a chase
we chase him like down the street and then into a parking garage, and the only way out that he could have gone is through this narrow alley. But when Tanner drives into the alley to look for him, Jericho is hidden and he's behind Tanner. And he's like speeding up, and Tanner is trying to outpace him, and Jericho just pushes him right out into traffic, and a semi truck T-bones Tanner's car.
Yes. We cut to, you know, this is bad. The medics zap him, his eyes open and turn red. And then we get this view descending into a map of the city and into your car. So you kind of fly in from the sky into the car. Here. And they survive the crash, but Tanner starts seeing like they live stuff.
Yeah.
There's a billboard they drives by that says, wake up. You know, so we know what's going on.
Yeah. And so Tanner's like, well, that's weird, but I know where Jericho went. And so like, okay, we got to get there. But when you get there, the car and the truck is blown up. Right.
Yep.
It's Tanner's car that blows up, and Tanner shifts into an ambulance driver shot to the process. This is the first shift, right?
Yes. And you get a little mission here. You have to drive to the hospital and get there before the patient's heart rate drops below 20.
Yeah.
You know, and this is introduced to the heart rate mechanic. This is going to come up a couple more times. Mm-hmm. You can raise and lower heart rates through your driving.
Mm-hmm.
Here, so you have to drive in a fun, thrilling way, like we're a little bit in the crazy taxi zone, in order to make this guy not flatline.
Yes.
After that, we shift back into Tanner's car, and Jones doesn't notice the billboards.
Yes.
Like, has there always been that wake up billboard? And Jones doesn't even see it.
Right. Yeah, billboard's been like that for ages. So you have to practice, you know, shifting until you see the sports car that's got a lightning bolt over it. And this gets our first city mission here. These are prerequisites for unlocking the Tanner missions, the story missions. And this is a stunt challenge to jump the sports car. Also we get into a checkpoint race down Lombard Street, that crazy switchback street in San Francisco, to go down there to learn how to drift, like how to take those really tight corners.
Yeah. Yep. And you can't return to your body and do stuff. You have to keep doing these city things. When you try to do it, it says like the city needs me and stuff like that. There's a weird Spider-Man vibes to this whole thing.
Chapter one is literally called With Great Power.
Yeah, With Great Power. Yeah. So we control a patrol cop, you know, doing a felony takedown, doing this takedown mission.
Yeah.
For this. There's a little heat zone. This introduces the zone mechanic where there'll be like floating heat mirages that you have to stay within.
And if you if you stay outside of that zone for too long, the idea is like, oh, they're getting away. It does a countdown.
Yes.
So you have to maneuver and match speed in order to not let them get away. It's a neat way
they haven't introduced the don't get too close to them yet.
Yeah,
that will happen
later. Fucking hell.
I wish it was eliminated.
It was just a psychosis that took over the entire industry for like 2 years.
Yep. Yeah, they loved it. We get back to Taryn Jones. We find Jericho, but we're going to find Jericho by shaking down criminal leads.
Yeah.
Where you pound the pavement.
Mm-hmm. We get some introductions to the other mechanics, garages, willpower, things like that, before chapter one begins with this montage of Tanner, Spider-Man like, using his shifting power just to stop petty crime around the city.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Very funny.
Yeah.
The side missions around here, you know, we do some stunts for a TV crew. Mm-hmm. That's not really Spider-Man shit. That's not really helping them out.
Yeah.
I understand that they need to have, you know, they need to see their, what the TV crew is trying to not get their show, World's Most Dangerous Car Crashes, canceled.
Yeah.
So you just cause a lot of car crashes, which I understand is funny on purpose.
Right.
But it's weird. It's totally a little bit weird.
Yeah. The way this works is like there's a highlighted blue area that you have to do the stunts within. And so, like, you know, get up to a certain speed with, you know, within this area. So you have to drift out
for 40 meters.
Yeah.
Do a head on, you know, people love head on collisions. Do a head on collision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another one where you possess one of Jericho's low level goons. And this introduces you to losing a cop. Right.
Yep.
You know, getting away while also avoiding other cops that you might be driving into or driving towards. And
it's not a very cop dense city.
No.
Which I like. Like, this is not actually, you know, this is something can sometimes be a chore, I think, in driving games.
Yeah.
Works pretty well. Mm-hmm. In this, and the way it works is based on a timer.
Yeah.
You get away from the cops and you have a countdown. You have to stay away from them for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Easiest way to do this is oncoming traffic.
Yep.
We'll slow them down and you eventually get very good at driving into oncoming traffic.
Yes.
Yeah. This unlocks our first story mission, Prove It, mm-hmm. for this chapter. We shift back into Tanner and he's explaining shifting to Jones. But Jones doesn't believe him.
No,
because of course he doesn't. So he's like, okay, we'll prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay. A jackass in a Pontiac cuts us off and is like, all right, well, you know, watch this. That guy's going to, you know, I'm going to make him do something crazy. Right.
Yep.
And then you jump into it and you have to like commit a series of crimes in this car, speeding,
yes.
Going against traffic, leaping off of a car carrier.
Car carrier, those ramps, those cars that look like ramps that drive ahead of you. That is the number two most intrusive thought, I think, is universal, other than grabbing a cop's gun.
Obviously, yeah.
You so know, a just, very intrusive thought.
Just what if I went off that thing? Yeah.
Yeah, what would stop you? Who would stop you? What person who's there would stop you? But like the jumping off those things, like I've always thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's that and the bland Simpsons version of just going where it goes, driving onto one of those and being their car now. You know, like getting adopted. Like the big car takes care of the little car.
It's a Stephen Wright joke, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you make him do one of those. And then you say, like, I bet he'll end up hooked up to a tow truck. Mm-hmm. By the end of this, there's a weird tow truck mechanic in this fucking game,
yeah.
Where tow trucks have magnetic sticky backs.
Uh-huh.
This only comes up for like two side missions, maybe,
including
this one.
And then randomly in the world, you will just like rear end a truck. Oh no, it's a tow truck. And
you
now
get
it's dragging
too close to
you
a tow
away.
Truck and you're stuck to it. And then you have to shake the controller to wiggle free like you're a codfish. Like, tow trucks are just going around angling,
yeah.
You know?
No. This, you know, and this convinces Jones. When you jump back in, he's like, so, you know, what happens if you shift into a fine lady? You know, you ever,
yeah,
do you ever
assault them?
Yeah.
You, know? you ever do something horrible?
Yeah.
And he's like, I do like to look at the goods.
gross.
Yeah. The all to a violation here,
yeah.
That he does. Two more of these little side quest missions. This is where it starts the teen street racing,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. We take control of a nerdy teen and his brother. Teen, his brother there. They're raising money for college.
Yes.
This storyline is going to continue. It's basically they just can't stay away from it, and they keep getting in bed with Jericho's men,
yep.
who for some reason is paying big bucks for street races.
Yeah, like maybe it's like a bet fixing thing. I've got no clue. I also love how this escalates, and at the end they're like driving basically like McLarens, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Then there's a nerdy teen who has an awful driving instructor, and you're like, I bet you I can freak this guy out.
Uh-huh.
So you have to get his heart rate up to a 180.
It's so good.
There by driving bad.
Yeah. now that we've done the proper amount of side stuff, the game has deigned to allow us to do Kidnapped, the second mission here. Dispatch calls, because you know we are still undercover car cops.
We're a cop during this whole thing. It's,
yes,
you'd be forgiven for missing that because it seems really extraneous, but you're a cop.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah. So there's this woman named Sarah Allen who has been kidnapped. We can patch you through to her cell phone. She is being held in the trunk of her captors, right?
Yes. And this presents as a checkpoint race.
Mm-hmm.
Where Tanner thinks she is. There are a lot of, this one makes sense because at some point, you know, they're on a clock. Mm-hmm. It's a kidnapped victim. They take a lot of standard race and car mechanics and apply them to things where they don't make sense.
Yes.
Specifically, there are a lot of time limits you shouldn't have in this. Like there's weird, you know, as opposed to saying you're in point A, get to point B and after this long, something will happen. It will say get to points A through F in between there with a micro fraction of that time.
Yeah.
You know, it like changes everything into a weird little checkpoint timing thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like it's real square peg round hole stuff to me. This one like that, it's a checkpoint race. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, she must be down by the docks. You go to the docks.
Yeah.
Eventually you shift into her and you open the trunk to get a visual there.
Yeah.
Catch up with the kidnapper and you shift into different cars that disable his vehicle with several head-on collisions that do not affect the trunk.
She is perfectly
well
insulated.
Known the safest place in a car is the trunk.
Yeah. You know, and you get out and say, go check on her.
Well, they make the whole car out of the trunk.
You open up the trunk and just inside it's just jelly, just red jelly. No bones left.
Like mist. Yeah. It's a slurry. She describes the kidnapper to us. Didn't get a good look, but it's a lady with a Middle Eastern accent and a fancy sports car.
That's our rocket launcher lady. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they kidnapped her because she's an industrial chemist.
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't know but she doesn't know what they want to accomplish. Right. Like they didn't get her there to make the ask. She's like, hey, are you a chemist? Let's go. This unlocks a new quarter of the city for chapter 2, Good Samaritan. Nothing you do is Good Samaritan-esque.
You've never done a good thing in your life. So the and ultimately also all the lives you're destroying during this game is not to prevent the MacGuffin. It's to prevent a prison break.
Uh-huh.
It's just to prevent people who are in jail from getting out slightly earlier. Any number of people can die. This is a deeply conservative game on accident. Like people dying and losing their livelihood is fine as long as criminals are punished the appropriate amount.
Yeah.
We have to do a couple side quests. One, we help two policewomen take down a runaway truck. It's called Mission from God.
Yeah.
And then we get a smash mission. I really like these.
Yes.
The setup for this is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. It's a singer has their next performance and a rival like rapper is going to crash it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you don't know where it's at. And he's like, you put up billboards all over this town. So you have to like crash through all these signs so he can't find one.
Uh-huh.
Everyone you do gives you more time. And the idea is just he can't have already looked at one or he can't find one of the ones you missed. Because you can miss a lot of these.
Yeah.
It's really, again, like making a story thing, like square peg round hole in terms of turning this into a driving mechanic.
I just love it. I love it so goddamn much.
Yeah, like, it's really silly.
Yeah, but like both neither end of this belt touches. Like
yes,
but we're just gonna go leave the house anyway. You know.
Yeah, it just has to work. The crash missions are very fun because it's like leading a trail of coins almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it puts you on a cool line, like a Tony Hawk combo thing. You're spelling skate.
It's also almost. Like the most arcadey thing. Like it's you're on a time limit. You can't make it if you don't hit any of these, and each one that you hit gives you some time, and like a few of them are, you know, could plausibly be distractions or traps, you know, so you have to decide which ones are worth going for or which ones will I'm not going to net positive time on this.
Yeah These are fun, I think. This opens up the story mission, Real Police Work. We get a tip about the car the kidnapper is driving, so we have to track it down.
And then crash it down.
Crash, yes.
We drive to the car's location. We get a picture. And this picture is used to track. We find out the owner is named Leila Sharon, this expensive contract killer who had been doing a lot of work in Egypt.
Yes. And we have the tailor. But like you might think that's really easy. However, what if you had to stay a certain far, you know, a certain amount close so you don't get away, but a certain amount far away so they don't notice? So it's that. There's a suspicion meter. We're going to be in one of those things for a little while. And the you stay between 50 and 120 meters, which seems like it's generous. And it's super weirdly not. Maybe I'm bad at distances,
you
know, conceptualizing them, but like, it's really easy to, you know, overshoot this or undershoot it. And because you're constantly overshooting or undershooting it, shooting it, your partner is constantly complaining to you this entire mission. It's like an entire time, like, she's going to get away, you know, or just like, man, don't get up your ass.
Yeah.
We need, you know, we don't want her to know we're here. I'm like, I fucking know. I'm trying, man.
If I can say anything positive, it's that they don't do this very often. There are probably about three of them in the game. It is just such a bummer. whenever one of these shows up in anything.
Yeah. Bad mechanic.
Yeah.
She drives across the Golden Gate Bridge and we cannot follow her. There's a big red fog wall.
This is so good. I haven't unlocked that part of the city yet. Hey, Jones, you're going to have to believe me. I can't go over there.
I can't. And Jones is like, why do we stop? And you're like, hey, you have to trust me, partner.
City missions here. The racing teens are at it again. And it's a double or nothing thing. Not too different this time. There's another one where you jump into a police car and you have to take down four street racers. And this is another one where it's like, all right, four targets. We need to head on them while also keeping up. About when you shift is the AI driving is really good. The point where like. In missions where you quick shift between like two cop cars or whatever, if you end up like in a disadvantageous position, from a bad turn or a crash, shifting over to the other one makes it so that the AI will like broadly right themselves and catch up. Right.
Yeah. And it gives you something to do while that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
These are obviously very fun. Lots of head-on collisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This opens up the story mission Eyes on the City. We get a tip about a red SUV that stole a huge load of platinum. Tanner jumps into a police helicopter. He's the co-pilot. So he doesn't have to be driving.
You're right.
As long as somebody's in a vehicle, he can possess them. is scanning cars to locate it.
Right. We pass by so many crimes. Like there's a tanker that explodes. There's street races. There's like bank robbery.
The exploding tanker. The pilot goes like, you don't see that happen every day. Like it's a tanker exploding at an intersection. Like he's fucking bored by this shit. It's kind of GTA 5 being don't live in California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a thing, this is also don't live in San Francisco. San Francisco is great, but don't like, this seems awful.
Yeah. You know? This version anyway, if somebody starts shifting, it's bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, San Francisco is actually excellent, but I wouldn't want to drive there.
We locate the car and Tanner shifts into it. And this is like a Range Rover that is extremely loaded down. With all of this platinum. So it's really awkward to maneuver. We have to get it through several checkpoints with all of this extra inertia, right?
Yep. Yeah. Getting it to reach the police impound. And then there are car bombs, guys who are willing to suicide for Jericho, trying to run into you that you have to avoid. Yes. So you have this awkward car and you are trying not to get hit by these suicide bomber cars.
Yeah. Either intercepting them with another car or doing what I did, which is just very awkwardly juke out of the way. Because when they're coming at you, they're committed.
Yes. Yeah. They don't have very much aim correction.
No.
Through that. So then we flash back Tanner in a hospital room, hearing a news report about the recovery of the platinum shipment. The news stuff he's hearing, he's imagining he's doing it. As this happens, this whole thing, and this is a spoiler, but
whatever,
we're going to get to it anyway, is the idea is that during the coma, he basically worked out what Jericho would do through coma math. Like he ran a bunch of simulations, you know, like this is him doing, what is the thing that the guy in Neonomicon does?
Anomaly theory. Yeah.
Like in his head for figuring it out.
Yeah. Hearing all these events, that were being done by other policemen that were incredibly disruptive across the city. I also like the way that they lay track for this too. I mean, it's, right now, like when it shows this, like it's plausible you might think like, oh my God, like he's actually psychically projecting across the city.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But the thing that happens, and I noticed this and was annoyed because like within Coma Town, as people are talking, like very annoyingly, they will just like work in the phrase, keep your eyes on the city, or you didn't have your eyes on the city or stuff like that. That is the tagline for the news station that Jones is watching. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Oh, it's silly. Chapter 3, detective work. There. This begins with us getting the third level of zoom for the shift ability, so we can now move slightly faster.
And we're introduced to paranoia missions. This is really interesting. I've never played anything quite like this. Yeah. So the setup is you are a federal agent who is driving somebody in witness protection to their safe house, but they're incredibly paranoid. You cannot be on main roads. And this is a big open world map that has a bunch of alleys. You have to figure out how to get to where you need to go while primarily being in these alleys and side streets.
The big shout out to me, or for me, to the sound design during this. Yeah. Big shout out to me. I'm doing great. Yeah. I'm actually very tired. But big shout out to the sound design of this. The sound of the paranoia increasing.
Mm-hmm.
The like high pitched strings
mm-hmm.
that just like you're on a main road that then fade out when you get an alley, I think are really good.
It's also very funny because the idea is we don't want to draw attention, but like me just blasting across this 4-lane highway to get from alley to alley, that it's draws really crazy attention. Yeah.
Another tanker. So this is fun. You get to the first safe house and it's compromised. So you only have 2 minutes to get to the second safe house because there's a dead man switch to publish sensitive files.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't check in. So he's got to get to a computer.
Yeah.
Next it's a father-daughter racing team, where you switch between them to make sure you get first and second place, by shifting, into other cars to take the other drivers down.
Yes. Yeah. Very weird setup. The common
father-daughter racing team.
Happens all the time.
Daddy-daughter racing. Yeah.
Gets to Shakedown, story mission here. We need to shake down this inside man, who was paid to help the Platinum heist, you know, somebody who worked at the, Platinum warehouse. This guy, you know, who worked there, who has recently been showing off a lot of cash, is doing the, you know, buying the big, red and yellow, SUV.
Yep, exactly. So the first part, we have to scare him by dangerous driving, but we don't want to do too much damage to the car because the second part has three murder cars that come out to try to kill you, and you have to lose them.
Right.
You know,
the checkpointing in this is actually really good. That was a surprise to me, given the era that this comes from. But like, you don't have to do the first part of the mission again if they if one of these takes you down and you start the avoiding the car bomber kind of guys with full health if you fail.
Yes.
So like this is a game that wants you to succeed.
It does want you to succeed for sure.
Yeah.
And this is fairly tough. We get there and he says, you know, it'd be impossible to sell this platinum without being traced. Mm-hmm. So Jericho must be planning to use the platinum. So that's our next, we had to figure out how you use platinum.
Yeah.
Do a couple city missions before I get the next one. We have to tow the police van that Jericho broke out to the evidence lab. And then it's parked there and until it can come be picked up, all the suicide bombers around town are trying to get it. So we have to defend it from the suicide bombers.
Yeah.
It's like an area defense.
How could you do that without shifting, right?
Yeah. No, like, you couldn't. I don't know what actually happened in real life that he's comaing about. And you just do this through head-on collisions. You search around the city to find someone driving against one of these suicide bombers and then smash their innocent body into the path to protect
mangle
car.
Them. Yes. The jaws of life will not help you.
No. They don't make jaws that big.
The other mission here, and this is just the order that I did them in. Thankfully, it like gives you all of them. It's just, you know, two and two. The last one here is a police escort to the site of this attempted bombing and then a chase to take down the suspect. This is a subplot. There's a mad bomber bombs at midday.
We'll learn more about him. Yeah. He's very insidious.
Mm-hmm.
This opens up the story mission, Freeway Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
Here we get a call from dispatch about some ammonia trucks that have been hijacked. So we have to shift and find heavy vehicles that will do damage to the ammonia trucks. It's not like the trunk thing where you have to hit them from the front to not damage the trunk. We just want to blow up the ammonia trucks.
Yeah Ammonia by itself
seems
is
good
fine
for the city.
Yeah
You're just the entire cat piss district. Here.
How else are we going to clean up these streets?
So you just slam buses into an ammonia truck until it dies. We take out the first one and there are two of them in tandem, speeding down the freeway. So we just throw buses at them until they die and make three gigantic ammonia explosions in San Francisco.
Yep. No big deal. It's not a big town. Jones, after this, calls up a police chemist, like, okay, platinum, We got platinum. We've got ammonia. Like, is he just working his way down the periodic table? Is an ammonia a compound? We need to figure this out. And the chemist, you know, this police chemist says, like, okay, well, ammonia and platinum, like, platinum would be a catalyst for making a huge amount of cyanide gas.
Yep. And we know that's bad. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, he wants to do that. We got to find out more stuff though. We have this link to an old accomplice of Jericho named Krug or Krug. For some reason that is played as a joke.
Yep.
I don't understand this joke at all.
Nope.
Like, I didn't really understand what they were going for. I kept saying Krug because of Spencer Krug,
right,
which is pronounced that way. But we can use this guy for info.
Right. Here.
And this starts chapter 4, Manhunt.
So this opens up the kind of like rural area, the like looping highway stuff south of the city, which is nice. Mm-hmm. We get some city missions. The street racing teens in this new area, suddenly they're doing off-road races in Baja cars. This is really fun. I love the way these handle. It's like
these things handle really fun.
Yeah, it's like a RC Pro-Am or whatever. Yeah.
Oh. And then a father has to get his son from a kidnapper. I love that this is the way to help.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a cop, you know, in the fiction or whatever. It's not to tell cops, other cops or do cop stuff. The first half is a paranoia mission to get to a specific point on time from this manipulative kidnapper. Then we have to tag cops and lead them to the bank to catch the kidnapper. Tagging is a mechanic that when you crash into a cop, it will chase you.
Yeah.
And you have a couple different missions where you have to collect cops.
Yeah. And keep your car going, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. This starts the story mission, The Conversation.
Right. So Tanner's gotten Krug out of prison and bugged his car. And we have to stay in range to hear his conversations that he's having with Jericho now that he's out the joint. He's trying to hook back up with Jericho because he's kind of his only contact in the underworld. But Jericho doesn't want anything to do with Krug.
Yes. Yeah. He's saying, I didn't talk, and Jericho smells a rat.
Yes.
Krug's loan shark calls, saying he wants his money. Mm-hmm. So Krug, it's a knee slapper, is desperate to get on Jericho's good side. We still want this resource. So we have to defend Krug's car from attackers.
Yeah.
While keeping in that range.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
The loan shark has sent his suicide bombers.
So much loyalty in this underworld.
This is the most loyal underworld I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every single one of these people would die for Jericho or a guy. if you pay me, I will do whatever you want.
Krug calls Jericho again, saying, like, hey, man, I'm trustworthy. And then Jericho remotely detonates a bomb in Krug's car.
Contingency.
When Jericho set this, I don't know.
I don't know. No, it's just cool. I mean, we actually, within the fiction of this, Jericho, like, quantum leaped into somebody in the impound lot.
Yeah.
Or whatever, just as a contingency. Like, we're going to find out Jericho has quantum leap powers as well.
Jericho's a shifter.
He's a shifter as well. It's the last thing we expected. Really good. City missions. We jump into this big rig carrying demolition charges.
Mm-hmm.
A psycho has rigged the car with a bomb. They'll blow up if we stay under 60 for a certain amount. But we have to keep our speed above a certain amount.
We call it the truck that couldn't slow down.
So you speed over to a remote area and then speed your way into a smaller car to disarm it.
Uh-huh.
Again, a little used mechanic in this of taking small cars and driving them under trucks.
Yeah.
And holding them there for a little bit. Very Fast and Furious.
They turned the opening of Christmas Vacation into a game mechanic. Like you shift into a smaller car and then like catch up alongside this and then just edge your way over under the trailer.
Where it goes.
Yeah. As you as Tanner somehow reaches up through the car roof to disarm the bomb, at 60.
Tanner uses his mind.
Yeah.
If I had to guess at this point, it's just TK.
Oh yeah.
You
know? The next one here, the next city mission, you shift into a Humvee that is fleeing from the cops. This is a boyfriend who is driving his girlfriend to this meetup to meet up with somebody who she claims will clear her name. Right. Oh, I've been framed. That's why the cops are after me. And we've got to get away from the cops in this big clunky SUV. We lose them and then go off road through some checkpoints and then lose them again until we get to the meetup. Where it turns out that the girlfriend did commit the crime, embezzlement, and she did it for her boss, who she is leaving her boyfriend for, and also pinning the crime on him. So
there is the low key 2010s.
Yeah.
Women sure do be like this. like this isn't an exceedingly gendery game mm-hmm. in terms of like commentary, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's not a feminist masterpiece or anything.
No.
Don't look for that. Yeah. The ladies in this are generally shiftless and shitty.
Yeah.
In this, it's all, nothing compares to Tanner.
Yeah.
Super cool guy.
Everybody but Tanner's a snake.
Yes. This brings us collateral damage, the story mission. We track the signal from the remote detonator to Jericho's car, so it's time to take him down. Mm-hmm. We chase him and do enough damage. He eventually stops. Tanner starts arresting the guy, but Jones is like, that's not Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
But we look and it is Jericho.
Yeah.
And he's taunting us and then turns into a random guy.
Yeah.
Because Jericho can shift.
Yep. And only a shifter can see another shifter in action. Yes. It's straight up Agent Smith shit that's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to escape Jericho as he's shifting into other cars. When Jericho does it, a lightning bolt strikes. Jericho also has elemental powers. Uh-huh. He uses the throw cars later.
Uh-huh.
So we had to get to a particular point with our car intact as this is the opposite of what we do to other people.
Yeah. It's yeah. You know, the hunter being Mirror hunted. Match.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
I love it. It's great. You know, it's a little frustrating in that it's a bit of a difficulty spike, but also like, yes. I don't know, it's neat to be on the other side of this.
Yeah. Yeah. The chapter ends, cuts to the hospital room with Tanner stirring in the bed and Jones calls for a doctor.
This takes us to chapter 5, Deep Undercover. All of this is stuff that we should be doing instead of driving.
Yes.
But we accomplish all of it via driving.
Via driving.
Yeah. Yes. The area across the Golden Gate Bridge opens up, finally, the place where Layla ran to. And now we can zoom out to see the whole Bay Area. So getting around in shift is no longer as slow as it was.
Yes. Tanner keeps looking out the window and seeing Jericho everywhere, you know, and being John Jericho. We do city missions as usual to unlock these things. First, we jump into the car of somebody who was bit by a Congolese dream widow.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that they are tripping, you know, and they're going to die. So we have to get through these checkpoints and get to the hospital while doing enough stunts to keep the heart rate up.
Yep. Each mission has a, you know, little mission success kind of thing. Like, oh yeah, you know, mission succeeded, blah, blah, blah. This one, it says complete, coma averted.
I like coma averted. Finally.
The other one is you jump into a cop car. And there is counterfeit medicine on the street. They're cutting into big pharma profits and we can't have this happen.
We can't have that. And they're leaving the crates everywhere. So this is a smashing mission. We have to smash all the crates and then take down the trucks carrying it.
Yeah.
And these cops are going off book doing it. We're going to get a little arc with them where they become vigilantes who fight medicine. This opens the mission test drive.
Yeah. We have one final lead, with connections to Jericho. This thief named Odell Williams.
It's worth noting, we forgot to, in between chapters, we go to a conspiracy board that hilariously has like 8 items on it. It's a conspiracy board you can easily keep in your head. It's like when you go to the store for milk and you write down milk on a post-it note and keep it with you.
Like, you put it in the car and then you do a check mark by it.
Yeah, like done and done. So we keep going this, and this is how we learned about Odell Williams. He popped up and they added his picture to the board.
Yes. But Odell, he is a small fry, a little fish here. We need to raise his cred, specifically with Leela, by impressing her with his driving skills.
Yes. So we do a very tight checkpoint race, you know, lots of winding alleys and sharp turns and everything. This is the point in the game where some of the margins got a little bit irritating for me.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't like redoing
the
things. Like, it's a thing where somebody's going to be like, oh, you don't want challenge. It wouldn't be challenging without that. And I was like, I would have put the challenge in the side shit for this for me. Like, I'm along for the shifting and I'm along for this bonkers story.
Yeah.
You know, it was demoralizing to fail these things.
Mm-hmm.
Leela almost admits that she's impressed when you get through all of them.
Yeah.
And we have to continue that chain, but first we have to do a couple city missions.
Yeah. because there's no time pressure on any of this.
No.
You're needed elsewhere.
Cyanide will take care of itself, basically. Well,
yeah. You jump into the car of a guy who wants to impress his girlfriend by winning a street race. Mm-hmm. This starts out as a race. This is something I really enjoy about this. Like, no mission is just one type of mission for very long. Like, they're pretty simple at the start, but like this one, oh, we're in a race, but then the cops show up, and then it becomes like a you need to finish the race while the cops are pursuing you, and then lose the cops to beat the mission afterwards. Yeah.
It's a thing where it's made up of a fairly limited number of component, like, game types, mm-hmm. almost like mini games, you know, like modes of driving.
Yeah.
And eventually it is just Legos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, oh, you have to do stunts until you have to smash things. Oh, you have to shake the police until you have to drive a certain amount of, you know, certain miles per hour for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just kind of put them together.
Yeah.
They're narratively strung together. I also like that they switch.
Yes.
I think this game is exactly as long as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
This is in that list of games that I like that we've done for the show where this would not support 2 more hours.
Right.
You know, because it just doesn't have enough Legos to put together
mm-hmm.
for that. Yeah. In order to, you shake the cops and you win this mission.
Mm-hmm. There's a very funny dialogue. I don't know if it's specifically at this mission, but at one point, when you shift, your passenger, who is blind, as a blind old man, says, "Angel, demon, ghost, what are you? Blind as I am, I know that you are not my wife."
Some people have can see it.
It's the sight. If he had learned a little bit longer, a little bit younger, he could have become a very apt shifter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take him under your wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shifter Morales. We shift into a undercover cop who is tracking down the bomber.
Yes.
The bomber plot. We have to defuse 2 truck bombs mm-hmm. before the bomber says you have 3 minutes to defuse 10 more. This is you jumping all around the city.
Yeah.
You know, finding these. Here's the thing where me being old,
uh-huh.
The resolution of this, it was hard to see. And this might be a colorblind thing. It might also just be being old,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to chalk it up to. Hard for me to pick these out at the level of zoom that was reasonable to traverse the city.
Yeah.
Like, hard for me to notice the trucks I had to defuse.
I didn't notice that, but the markers are red. So I could see, depending on the contrast, that being a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this game kind of came out before people cared about that kind of thing. But if this game ever got remade, which I think this game is pretty rife for a remake, or like an indie studio taking this idea
mm-hmm.
and making a good game with it, don't do this.
No, please.
No.
Yeah. This is hard, but it was really satisfying. It like took me 2 tries. On the second try, I aced it, and I felt really good once I figured out how to approach this. Yeah.
Yeah. This unlocks Frozen, the next story mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tanner and Jones are bickering about whether or not Jericho would use the chlorine gas, like mm-hmm. what it sounds like Jericho. I'm like, oh, what's his motive and this stuff? And at one point, Tanner snaps his fingers, and when he does, the city freezes around him.
And know? Then like everything turns like the light gets cold. It's like, and it's blue.
Yes.
And the only thing that is moving besides Tanner's car is an ambulance. That is driving this big loop, and you have to to get out of this, you need to follow behind the ambulance, which is leaving a golden trail. This is one of the multiplayer games here, which is like following cars and staying in the zone, getting points by being right behind it. You need to follow behind it and stay on the trail, weaving through stopped traffic, which is harder than you think it would be at the speed that the ambulance is going.
You've gotten very used to weaving through moving traffic.
Yes. Yeah. But you do this to get your heart rate down so that you can break the freeze.
Yeah. Eventually, the stopped cars in front of you just start blinking out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yahtzee. And after you do it, it says complete nightmare escaped.
nightmare slain.
Yes. And we cut back to that argument. Tanner's head is lying on the steering wheel here. He's, you know, losing it for this. Jones says, "We'll get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You'll pull through this." And he keeps repeating. And we hear it through the radio.
Wake up. I need you to wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Coma.
Yeah.
Coma.
Yeah. Move us on to the next chapter here. Hunted. Tanner's freaking out in an alley. He's at ends. Things are freezing at weird times. You know, it's like, I'm losing my mind. And Jones says, you know, the difference between you sane and you crazy is you drive a little faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that that's happening in a coma.
Uh-huh.
The way, I don't know if this is actually the case, but the way I like to think of Tanner in real life is that nobody really likes him because he's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
And also nobody's that impressed by the driving.
Right.
But when he goes into a coma, he imagines everyone's impressed by the driving. Like it happens here. It happens through Odell.
Yeah.
He goes and saves the day with his one thing he can do.
Uh-huh.
That nobody cares about. Like, I like to think of this whole thing as a fantasy.
Yeah.
Of like, what if the thing I do could be respected?
Yeah. Well, like what if my sole competency was the way to solve every problem in existence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even so much so that it like doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Like you drive to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I like to think about this.
Yeah. Coma. That's where Tanner's a Viking.
Yeah. Now, do you mean he is a Viking or do you mean that he's so good at being in a coma? Yeah. So we have to do a couple city missions before we can eat our steak.
Yes.
You know, as usual.
Yeah. You shift into the body of a truck driver. So, somehow they're like good old boy truckers in here.
Yes.
Who are committing crimes. You shift into the body of a truck driver whose partner in crime, Foghorn, has sold him out.
Yes.
And your guy says, Foghorn, I'm coming for you. Nobody crosses Bubba W.
Yeah, Bubba W versus Foghorn. So we lead about a bunch of cops to Foghorn's rig and then destroy it.
Yeah.
Then make cars crash head on into it until it can't drive anymore.
Yeah.
Next, we jump into a cop car and learn about five cars that were stolen from a showroom. And we have to get them all back within 5 minutes because it's for a police auction.
Yeah.
For and they have really tight margins. If you've ever been in an auction, they do not tolerate an item that they're going to auction showing up a little bit late.
No,
they'll call off the whole thing.
Yeah, no, they'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah. And these are in various spots. Some of them are just parked. Some of them are are being pursued by rival cars. They're trying to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do them in any order you want. You just go around the city.
Yeah.
Like this is a neat mission.
This is tough. This is really hard to me.
It's hard. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I like this. I thought it was neat.
Mm-hmm.
This brings us to the story mission Escapist.
Yes. We shift into Ordell's car trying to impress literally Johnny Tight Lips. This guy named Kirk, who is not giving up anything about what Jericho is up to, as Tanner is trying to pump him for information.
It cannot be understated how much of a gormless fuck like Tanner is. He's like, so Jericho up to any crimes? Like he's not quite that, but there's no attempt at like inhabiting Ordell's character.
No.
Or making an up excuse or anything. He's just driving around being like, so are you sure you won't tell me? I'll be your best friend. Like it's that for the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm, Platinum, a girl's best friend, huh?
Yeah. Do you know anything about Platinum? Maybe something about an evil island? Like it's literally that. So we had to escape from the police twice. You know, the second time is this ambush and there are a lot of cruisers on you.
Yeah.
And Johnny Tightlips is not impressed.
No.
Eventually you get him to the drop off point, which is this farm.
Yeah. Lila calls saying like, hey, I've got a special job for you. You've been doing real good lately. There's no room for error on this. You're being called up to the big leagues.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to do a couple city missions first though. Shift into the race teens. And now they're racing for Jericho. This is a big drift car race around a big dirt track.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so you can get enough money to run.
Yeah.
Is the idea. And every time you shift in, you're like, you know, you guys, we need to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop doing illegal racing. And he's like, no, I'll never stop doing illegal racing.
Live by the car, die by the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh. This is the first race where I noticed the rubber banding being really bad. Mm. Yeah, I don't know why this one specifically, but yeah.
Yeah. There's also an armored truck driver whose truck is disabled by a car bomb by the bank. And you have to protect it for 3 minutes as the cops come.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's tower defense basically, but with head-on collisions.
Yes. Until it's time for the mission that Ordell cannot fail on. For Jericho driving with Layla in the car and then like, okay, the target's up here. Turns out that we have drived up on this orange Dodge Charger. The target is Tanner.
Yes.
So it's like, we need to take down myself. The perfect yes. crime.
I would love to know what happens if he killed Tanner during this. The kind of things that would be explored in Driver San Francisco 2 if they didn't make this a coma.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to remotely drive the Dodge, watching from Tanner's point of view in the Hummer as it follows.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah. Eventually, during this pursuit, Layla radios Jericho to say, like, hey, Ordell's acting funny. It's time to move. Yes. And this is where it's revealed. They know Tanner's in there. Like, Jericho's aware of the shifting.
Yes.
Why did you think this would work? Yeah.
Yeah. There. So Jericho shifts into Tanner's body. And this whole time he's like, you know, the funny thing about shifting, who's watching your body while you're gone?
Uh-huh.
Shifts in them and tries to kill Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But we shift into Jones. and then we unlock the Jindosh lock.
Yeah.
And we get a little speech from Jericho about how we don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Our eyes are not on the city. Our eyes are on the city, so we're missing everything.
Yeah, yeah. No. And then Jericho shifts away, even though, like, he's got the, I don't know, it's so fucking dumb, just playing musical bodies.
It's really dumb. This is the kind of thing that would terrify me out of shifting.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'd love to be able to shift.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be pretty fun. But the if Jericho could just hermit crab into me,
mm-hmm.
like, no way.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm done.
Terrible.
No.
Getting us into chapter 7, Anything Goes. You know, Tanner's driving when Jones's voice comes through the radio, which is weird because Jones is sitting in the car with him, as he always is.
Yeah.
You know, saying like, oh, it's good to see you back on your feet. And we hear like, oh, it's bad out there. You know, they're calling in the National Guard, and Jones is like, we need you, Tanner. This is a problem that can only be solved by driving.
Yes. Like one of our many.
We can't drive good enough.
Yeah. Of course, before continuing the plot, you had to go do some side shit.
Yes.
The cops who busted the fake meds lost their badges. One of them says, it's clear to me now, we must become vigilantes. We must become the medicine runner overs. So they do another smash race,
yes,
basically. But you're in your civilian vehicle.
Yeah, in a little Audi hatchback. I'm going to go back into the racing teens. They're racing for Jericho again, and we have to win this super fast sports car race. You know, they go up to 200 miles per hour, but the handling is really loose. So, like, yeah. You know, we're at the level of car where, like, you're just focusing on not oversteering.
Yeah. Yeah. Cars should not go that fast.
No.
After doing this, we can go do the story mission, Entrapment.
Mm-hmm.
We got a tip about Layla moving some contraband cargo.
Yeah.
So we get to the tip-off point. A car with a bunch of crows explodes. Crows have been a weird low-key theme around Jericho magic.
Yep.
Every once in a while, there'll be some crows. A bunch of these crows land on a car and it explodes, and some pursuers pull up.
Yeah. Layla is sighted in this black Hummer on the Golden Gate Bridge, and so you race over there, pursued by these enemies, and then you take her down. Right, you've got to get her off the road and get her out of the car. And as she's being arrested, she smirks, and then a crow lands on one of the cop cars and flies away. This weirdly is a plot point in The Stand, which is that Randall Flagg can surveil the land, like remotely view through the low beasts, primarily crows. You know?
Do you mean it's a plot point in Norse mythology?
Yes. Yeah, like, yeah. That's
you know, that's a plot point in Lord of the Rings Norse mythology.
Yeah, yeah. I bring it up specifically because it is crows, right?
Gotcha.
Also, it's goofier if I say that Jericho is an avatar of Walter O'Dim.
Randall Flagg.
Yeah.
Even though if he's an avatar of Odin, old one-eyed Odin, that's also weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to do some city missions, no matter how urgent the plot is. We jump into an undercover CIA operative who got burned. You know, the whole police is after him. And you have to shake them. When you can't shake them, you have to get to the freeway and drive into the back of an Aegis truck, do Operation Aegis.
Yeah.
And they call it a mobile blind spot, which is another intrusive thought, like number 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pulling up into an open van.
Oh, yeah. We call it the Knight Rider protocol.
Yes. Yeah. Anything that makes big car take care of little car is a mild intrusive thought for me.
Yeah.
like kangaroo cars.
And the final city mission, at least that I did, the TV production crew is back. The stakes are even higher, right? They're trying to sell a new show. They're set up to film on the Golden Gate Bridge. We have to do even crazier stunts. You know, we have to like jump into a car that specifically can go over 150 miles per hour. We have to go 100 miles per hour into oncoming traffic. You know, we're driving angry, like in Groundhog Day, you know? Tailing police to them, a bunch of high stakes stuff on the Golden Gate Bridge. It's neat.
Yeah. This gives us our last story mission of the chapter, Deja Vu. We get a call about an officer down and we head there while the radio is glitched out. I love this. You get to the spot where you were T-boned at the beginning of the game. You're the officer down.
Yeah.
And things shift to Nightmare San Francisco.
Yeah. And then at this point, you're driving around from survival horror angles.
Yeah. This is pretty great. Like, yeah. A lot.
You know, and you're just like, just going around seemingly lost and in a loop until you find Jericho. And then a ton of Jerichos all in the same black pickups. Like this is his car avatar, his avatar. I love Tanner's line here. Like, wait, Jericho? And then more Jericho?
So many Jerichos.
It's like, overflow with Jericho over here.
Yeah. Oops, all Jerichos. They chase you around and you eventually get to that alley again.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trapped in the same situation as the beginning. But when you get hit, Tanner wakes up.
Yes.
And now we're in the final chapter, chapter 8.
Yeah. And the TV news talks about San Francisco being under siege. And this is where we learn that the reason people keep forcing the phrase eyes on the city into dialogue is because that's the slogan for the news station. Yes. Tanner is awake, tries getting up, but falls over and passes out again.
That's very funny. And immediately re-enters coma town. Him falling down, I always think of that as semiotics for limb atrophy.
Yes.
You know, if somebody gets up, but no, it's just to put him right back in the fucking coma for the final supernatural boss.
That's all slipped on a banana peel.
Yeah. So this is our final coma showdown with Jericho.
Yes.
He's sending tons of possessed cars after you. You have to stay within his pursuit circle. And it lets us know which cars are possessed by having them be struck by lightning bolts. That's his power signature.
Yes.
For Jericho magic.
The dialogue in this is so fucking funny, Gary.
Yeah, it's real good.
I was just furiously typing down quotes as this was going, you can't escape me, Jericho. This is my nightmare.
Yeah, I made note of the next one, the rejoinder. The city is like a body, Tanner. The streets are its veins. The traffic is blood. If the city is my body, then you're like cancer, Jericho. Huh? If the city's your body.
Yeah, the traffic is blood. The cops are the white blood cells. The red blood cells, yep, that's gasoline. Now the plasma.
It's very, I know that you're not a County Bang Bang guy.
Uh-huh.
There's a song, Drew Tarver and Carl Tart do a thing called Memphis, Kansas Breeze. And it's a fake country band. And their first song is called Truck Birthday. And it just, you know, it's a birthday of someone special to me. And they bring all the trucks down to the ravine. And they drink gasoline instead of cake. And they wear traffic cones instead of hats. And that's it. But then the next song, there was an ugly truck. He didn't have anyone to take her to the truck prom. And he takes her to the truck prom. And then has a half-human, half-truck hybrid child. Like, out of her tailpipe, which was her pussy, came a little half truck that kind of looked like me. It's really good. Yeah, but that's basically what he's doing here.
Yes. Yeah. We take him down. This is not unlike stuff we've done before. And you know, back outside of Coma Town, they've called in a crash cart. Like things are really bad. Fucking hope you're never in a room when a crash cart is called. It's the scariest fucking thing in the world.
It seems scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now we start the second phase of the boss fight. We're chasing Jericho, but he has lightning bolts now throw cars at us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't shift. We just have to dodge cars that are thrown at us.
Yes. And Tanner's given up. Like he's starting to understand like what's going on here. Like, and saying like, oh, the next coma, I want a yacht. I want deep sea fishing and a goddamn yacht.
Yep. In the next coma.
But then he immediately forgets. How is he doing that? Oh, that's right. It's all in my head.
He basically discovers lucid comaing through this. So Jericho disappears. We get this little cutscene. Jericho is over in the passenger seat, and Tanner says he would crash the car to kill him, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and Jericho's trying to taunt him into doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, let's just keep going over and over again. You know, like, you just need to, you could keep killing me, you know, so you don't focus on not dying, right? And he says, I just love this line, the dialogue in this game, Gary. I'm hooting and hollering. You see, coma's just another pretty word for nearly dead.
Yeah, just another pretty word. So good.
So, now we're in a white void and they're arguing. And this is when Jericho, you know, looks at him and strikes a pose and says, "Smell of death's in the air, tiger." And then makes this horrible, like, growling, like roaring sound, like, "Bruh!" And as he does it, he explodes into a cloud of crows.
Yeah, his head flies off. He explodes into a crowd of crows. Yeah, it's pretty goofy. We cut to Tanner in the interrogation room with Jericho.
Yes.
So we're full, you know, and Tanner puts together what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a terrorist. He's not going to make this gas to kill everybody. He's not a terrorist.
Yeah, yeah.
What he's doing is making a distraction to evacuate downtown.
Yeah. Like, you know, this is cover for the real crime, right? Jericho. Yes. Wouldn't use a cyanide bomb. Jericho would make us think he would use a cyanide bomb.
Yes. Yeah. That's classic Jericho. You know, so Tanner's shouting himself to wake up. Jericho's laughing at him. Laughing gets louder and louder until we start round three of the boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
Here. And Tanner goes, "New rules. I'm throwing some goddamn cars too." So you have to find heavy cars to toss.
Yes.
At Jericho, and Jericho dies. You throw semis at the end boss until they die.
Yes.
You know this.
If that doesn't sound great to you, I don't know what planet you're from.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Like there's an element to this to me. And this gets a little bit into wrap up thoughts, and we're fairly close to the end, but it's just worth saying here.
Uh-huh.
I think this game does come off for me, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a little bit cooler on this than you. Mm-hmm. I like this. To me, this does come off a little bit more fun in description than it did in practice.
Okay.
For that, like tossing cars at somebody to chase them and everything, obviously sounds really, really cool. I wanted a little bit more elevated and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's not quite there to fulfill its potential for me.
Yeah.
Like when I say this feels like a 7 out of 10 that's trapped, you know, as a 9 mm-hmm. or a 9 that's trapped as a 7 out of 10.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's what this feels like to me.
No.
Like it's not quite there. Mm-hmm. Though just describing it sounds incredible.
Uh-huh.
And if I had just heard this episode, I'd be like, oh, this sounds like the greatest game of all time. And it just kind of isn't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little ineffables that hold it back from being as fun as it should be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you there. Yeah. You know, there's more potential here to fulfill.
Yes.
The product and that we end up
more,
getting.
The potential was there that got, you know, there are more limiters on this.
Yes.
Than there needed to be. The product we end up getting is great.
Yes.
Like I'm very happy to play this game. I think it's really fun. It's real stupid. It just like, there's something about it that makes me, you know, and this makes me sound ungrateful, but makes me think, no, like the thing where you're throwing semis at the end boss in a race should be a little bit cooler and weirder than this. And that's an absurd thing to demand.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a ludicrous thing to say, but
ingrate.
I kind of feel it. Yeah. I know. I kind of feel it though.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, you know, you feel it. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
So you throw cars until Jericho's car is dead. And this finally, it breaks the curse. Jericho is gone from his head. Tanner wakes up and Jones is, you know, celebrating and makes Jones believe him about the diversions. He's put all the pieces together that nobody who was awake
could do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he convinces the doctor, like, hey, we need to go. The city's in trouble. Jones gives Tanner the key, you know, the keys to his car. Right.
Yes. And now we're in the real world.
Yes.
We speed across the bridge into town downtown as the bomb goes off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a smokescreen. They just want everyone to think it was cyanide. And we see all these convicts running through the streets. This was all in service of a prison break.
Yes.
Jericho's talking to that older prisoner from the beginning
mm-hmm.
about payment, you know, his $30 million, when Tanner approaches and he flees.
Yes. And this is a chase. It is a chase sans shifting. As you cross the entire city to get this dock warehouse, where you know you're chasing them down, and then Jones comes in at the last minute. He gets the kill shot, at least for the car. You know, T-bones Jericho with a police SUV. He says, now can we get that beer?
Dun, 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 dun. Been in a coma for a couple weeks, man. But let's go get some beer for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the music under the scene and then the credits is hilarious. By Uncle. God, fucking Uncle.
I don't know Uncle.
And they did a bunch of like remixes. They're just like a production, like producers who do remix stuff. But just, you know, these samples, where's it come from? Had still the end of the world? Who's doing this? Who's killing us? Like with this,
I'm
like
coming for you.
Like with this, you know, with like this, this is just a like subdued beat and then like Deftones guitars. It's so
funny. God. Yeah. It's bleak, man. I didn't know about that band and I'm glad I don't.
Yeah.
That's awful. And that's Driver San Francisco, which I kind of did my wrap up thoughts already.
Yeah.
Like, I want to like this more than I did. I did like it way more than I expected.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just feel like with a little bit of juicing in the right places and a moderate amount of cutting shit out,
mm-hmm.
this could have been like sublime.
Yes.
Like, it could have reached heaven,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't quite get there. And that's an unfair expectation. I don't want to damn this too much by nitpicking. Mm-hmm. It's just, I was frustrated with my experience a little bit of this not quite singing the way that I wanted it to, or I felt like it could.
Yeah. I think that I found a little bit more joy in just the driving than you did.
Mm,
you know,
that could be
similar to Burnout Paradise. This is like an unexpected thing for me, which is that like, oh, like I might be a driving game person a little bit. You know, it's like, oh yeah, Burnout Paradise rules. The racing stuff in Grand Theft Auto rules. I like it. So maybe that is what, you know, carried this through for me. I desperately want somebody else to take the shifting mechanic. I don't know if this is something that, you know, that was patented or whatever, like a sanity meter, but like,
I hope not.
It's a really, really good idea.
It's a super good idea. I would love to have a company with either a better sense of like a straight putt B movie
mm-hmm.
kind of thing that could be made fun of, or with who is genuinely funny.
Yes.
Take this kind of idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, and do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I would also just like, if somebody else just did this idea with something else, like they patch this into, because it is rigging,
uh-huh.
you know, if they patch this into Cyberpunk at some point, like I'm still be curious to see this mechanic
mm-hmm.
happen elsewhere. What is that? Watch Dogs 2 or 3?
Yeah.
One of them has something kind of approaching this, but you can also do it for people on foot.
Yeah.
I never played it. I just know mm-hmm. I'm hearing about it.
Yeah.
Like there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, all the way back to Omicron, the Nomad Soul. There's something about the game you can just shift into people, and making it a racing game is really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Really smart.
Yeah. I'm super happy that Steven gave us the chance to play this. I knew it by reputation for being kind of wacky. And Steven sent a bunch of racing games over to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that I think fit the show a little bit better, but also like immediately I saw like, we have to do this. I've heard it's good. And I think that bore out.
Yeah, me too. And it's also really interesting. And I never, you know, again, this is just my weird blind spot, but I had not heard people talk about it very much.
It was this is something that Idle Thumbs latched onto. So,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
that's why I missed it.
Yeah.
The a thumbsman kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah.
Very happy to have played it.
Yeah.
If you have things to say about Driver San Francisco, you need to write in by May 15th at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Please. That is also the deadline to write in about Plague Inc., Realms of the Haunting, or Tunic, which is our premium episode for that month.
Yeah. And for the following month, you need to write in by the 15th. It's always the 15th. And that month's games are The Life and Times of Sir Bronte, Project Snowblind, and Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Yeah. We're coming up on summer console RPG.
We are.
I will say this. It's in the news.
Oh, well, that basically probably gives it away, I bet. That's okay, though, because I also told people at Midwest Gaming Classic. the koi policy on the podcast has never been official or really necessary
mm-hmm.
or charming or even that fun to engage with.
We don't really get anything out of it.
Yeah, no, nothing happens. I'll give my hint as well. It's something I'm looking forward to playing,
mm-hmm.
which never happens for console RPGs because I think it's one of the worst genres. But it is something I want to play.
Yeah.
This one. Yeah. If you are not demographically identical to us and you have a project or product you'd like us to shout out, please send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. Include relevant information. Here's a writer I want to throw on. Mm-hmm. Somebody gave me one and it was way in advance. It's kind of tricky because to know the backlog and everything, mm-hmm. but if you have a specific time,
yes,
that it's relevant for, feel free to send it whenever, but I am going to ask you to do a reminder closer to the time.
Yes.
I don't want to start, adding too much management to mm-hmm. this. You know, just let us know. You can let me know. I'd be happy to screen it mm-hmm. and then send me one like a week or two before it's supposed to come out and we'll make it work.
Yeah.
Because we have one coming up, but it's just not ready yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. If you want to support us, go to Patreon, mm-hmm. patreon.com/duckfeedtv. This gives you tons of bonus episodes of this show and other shows, access to polls, being able to ask us questions for the dispatch, access to monthly Jackbox streams. Any number of treasures can be yours.
Yes. We encourage it. Please rate and review the show on whatever podcast directory you happen to get us from. That does help us out, raises visibility and everything. And finally, join us in thanking our producer, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gwen. Until next time, what should people watch out for?
Until next time, they should watch out for wake up. We've been waiting for so long for you to wake up. Just please wake up. We know you can do it. Wake up.